guilty. Now we know I covered a guilty a while back, so this kind of going to go along with that message. Concerning our brother, for we saw the distress of his life when he pleaded with us. Very important. Yet we did not listen. That is why this distress has come upon us. Now, I don't know if you never see. Let me read to you in the King James, and I'm going to explain this. And they said one to another, we are guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we did not hear. Therefore, in this distress has come upon us. Now, what I want to look at is this anguish and distress. How many know that the world's full of it? And if you don't know what anguish and distress is, I'm going to read it here in the English, because we're going to look at the English word. I know we're all about Hebrew, but we're a lot of English speaking here too. So anguish, let me give you a definition of that, is severe mental or physical pain and suffering, extreme pain, distress, and anxiety. And distress is extreme anxiety, sorrow or pain, emotional, social, spiritual, or physical pain or suffering that may cause a person to feel sad, afraid, depression, anguish, or lonely. How many know that these English words, how many know this is the real thing, anguish and distress, especially in the lives of people? We know that. I mean, know that the Bible talks about it. Our master spoke about these things. And Jehovah spoke about them. But what I like about it is, we're going to dive into it a little bit more. It's H6, distress is H6869, Sarah. Now Sarah, I don't know if anybody went back and looked at that. It's feminine of H6862. Its definition is tightness, that it's figurative trouble. Transistively, a female rivalry. Now, we know about female rivalries in here, your ladies, for sure. I'm sure at some point in time in our life, we had some female rivalries. Adversary, affliction, adversity, affliction, anguish, distress, tribulation, and trouble. The Brown Driver's Brig, straits, distress, trouble, vexer, rival wife. Now, I'm not pointing the lady down. This is what this anguish and distress points out to. Because there ain't nothing more angrier than a mad mother or a mad wife. And when it comes to finance and money and other relationships, there's nothing more ferocious than a female lioness when they're on the hunt, or when there's a predator or prey around when she's protecting her little ones. You'll see a mom who fights to the death. This is how the distress, they'll fight till every ounce in them. Your mothers know what I'm talking about. But it also goes on in the ancient Hebrew, is to press. It's an enemy, and it's trouble. You know, this thing, when they saw Yosef's face, they disregarded the anguish on his face. I don't want to pick on my wife on this, but if you've never seen distress, lose a loved one. You see the anguish and distress on a person, on their face, it'll show. That, and what? Who's next right here? It says it's the enemy. He comes, and it makes it that much bitter, because a lot of times we don't have the answer for some things. An enemy is one who closes in with pressure. I mean, when you feel the weight, when you're kind of in a bind, this is what he wants to hold us back on. We're about to celebrate Passover coming. Is the pressure on? He don't want you celebrating Passover. He'd rather have you up the road at the festivals up there. The enemy are closing with pressure. We feeling it. I don't know about y'all, but it seems like every day there's always something new, or maybe a new attack coming around the corner, just waiting, because the enemy is there to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. He's not there to be reasoned with. He's not there to bargain with. And you'll feel the pressure. Look, it's special to come here tonight. And it's no excuse, but I mean, I work in the oil field, but let me tell you, I had a late night last night. I got in this morning. You know, and the first thing my wife, she said, "Babe, you got Bible study tonight?" "Yeah." She said, "Did you study?" "And no pressure." "Yeah, okay." No pressure. It means straight, a narrow place, a narrow tight place or situation. How many know what I'm talking about? Have you been in them spots before? This is what this anguish and distress. And if you let it overwhelm you, it's hard to come out from that spot you're in unless you got your hand in the glove and your hand in his glove, because they definitely go together. We need him. He's the only one. We're gonna see later on what our master talk about is anguish and distress when men's heart failing. There's gonna come a time on this world that we're gonna definitely need your hand in his glove and in his hand in our glove. It's an enemy, it's adversary, trouble, distress, affliction, foe, narrow, straight, flint, sorrow. So all these things, it comes when the pressure's on. And it sure seems like this time of the year, 2025, pressure's on. When you turn on the news, all you hear is the fighting going on over there. Like I said, we mentioned this before. We don't really feel it all that much. We feel a little bit of pressure. But can you imagine you being in a spot where you think you're going to Shabbat service tomorrow and you got to hunker down in the bunker because the bomb's coming? Well, we're going to see what our master says, because he talks about stuff like that. There's trouble and bomb. And you know what bomb? He said, well, what's that got to do with stress? Well, bomb, when I was a kid, we used to go in the utility room and they had the camphor grease, we used to call it. I don't know I'm sure some of y'all might have had the older generation. And it was like a salve that the old people made when your legs swell or your elbows swell. What it did, you had to go get it out there, and you got just grease all over you, and you'd take it and you would rub it in, then you wrap it. That's what this balm is talking about. A salve rubbed in grease pressed into the skin. That's what we used it for. So when I read that, I was like, okay. Then we're going to see that Yaakov, we're going to say, well, hey, take him a little balm. And a little, some of the spices. So all these things connect into the scripture. So I thought that was pretty, pretty important. Press and straighten, bundle. It also went to one the other night that I saw when I was over there by Brother Chad the other night that I thought was very interesting. Let me see if I can find it, because it has a lot of definitions in it. Storehouse. At age 214, when you push that storehouse, in Proverbs that he wrote, because I wrote it down, because he mentioned Proverbs chapter 8 the other night. Well, anyway, I'm going to find it here in just a moment. I don't want to get too ahead of my notes. But it goes to that definition. And the storehouses, that's why our master said when you store your treasures up, these storehouses, don't store them where the enemy can get him. Because look, the enemy wants to rob you of your joy. He wants to get into your storehouses, and he wants to steal your stuff. He wants to destroy you, makes you feel like you're not important. Let me tell you, this sorrow, I thought it was very, very important. This it's just the stress. You know, when we're here tonight and it's just us, you feel the stress of it, because why, everybody else is out doing their own thing. We should be out there. But that's not what our master commands. So this is totally, very good, I'm sorry. This is totally something I know I definitely needed. And I to keep me straight in line with him, because we said the word straight, it gets narrow, it gets tight. Sometimes when you get in a straight and narrow place, the only way to come out is straight ahead. When your back is against the wall, you only have a chance to go forward. It's not to go back. You know, there's nothing else for us to go back to. So this affliction that they seen on their brother's face, they just disregarded it. Let me tell you, and he had every right when it came his turn. But thank God, thank Jehovah that he removed that passion that he could have just, I'm going to fix them. Yeah, they come here to buy grain. He could have took revenge. But boy, he would have acted so out of character. He wouldn't have matched our Messiah to come. He would have been so He could have been an enemy to his brother, but because of the love for his family. And that's how I think that's what is teaching us, just like yourself, and to be like our master, the love to have for one another. Because let me tell you, being against family that done all this stuff to you, it'd make you bitter. It really would. So it brought me to a story that I want to read. Because we're going to learn some things of what not to do add to our brothers and to our sisters. Because the scripture, this ain't the only spot we see anguish and distress. It's in the book of Obadiah. I will tell you chapter one to make a funny out of it, but it's only one chapter. But it's a great read because it's going to tell us on what's going on about Esau. And Obadiah, it says, the vision of Obadiah, it's actually the name, we say Obadiah, but it's Obadiah or Obadiahu. So he said, this is what the master Yehovah said concerning Edom. He said, we have heard a report from Yehovah, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise, and let us rise up against her for battle. How many know that when a message comes from Yehovah, we definitely should be paying attention to what's happening? It says, see, I have made you small among the nations. You are greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the cliffs of the rock, whose dwelling is on high, who say in your heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? This is what happens when you think you're better than your brother. And what happened in the story here, let me try to explain before I go on, because I really had to dive into it and see what was going on about all this. In 587 BEC, Jerusalem was destroyed and fell during the Babylonian exile by King Nebuchadnezzar. This was during this time. Just totally annihilated. Why? Because Israel wouldn't obey because of disobedience, not following what our master says. Be here on Shabbat. Be here. Not anywhere. I told someone this morning. I said, Yehovah, this Torah, it means his instructions. Now, in his instructions, they're all rules for us to follow. They're not for us to disregard. We disregarded them before all our lives. Now we really need to obey his rules. And I said, and also the reason for this rebuke was Edom is accused of cruelty and supporting Israel's enemies. This is what the own brother did to the brother. So this tied me right back to Yosef, because Yosef could have been a bad brother. But he chose not to, and I'm so happy, because I believe that's why we're here today. We're reading about his life, because to bring a picture of our master, how he loved his brothers during the time when they abandoned him, when he needed him the most. I don't know the man, really. This was his right-hand man talking. Was supporting Israel's enemies, particularly during the Babylonian conquest of Jerusalem. And what they were doing, they were siding with Nebuchadnezzar. Then Nebuchadnezzar, because Esau could not beat Israel. They were too small of a people. But yet, Yah loved him. But they got so high and mighty, they waited till Nebuchadnezzar came down and tear him up. Then they went in there and sided with him, and Ramshack with Nebuchadnezzar left behind. They are also accused of gloating of Yehuda's misfortune and participating in the destruction of Jerusalem. Go look at the history. That's the part they stress. When I had to go look this up, they stress on how you really need to look into the history when you read Obadiah, how his name goes. Huh? Obadiah. Yes, yeah. Says, the pride of your heart has deceived you, you who dwell in the cliffs of the rock. You remember Esau, the mountain of Edom? That's where he lived. That's where Edom. Whose dwelling is on high, who say in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? It says, though you rise high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, From there I shall bring you down, declares Jehovah. No matter where, how high you think you are, or you can have all the money, or you can be Elon Musk. It doesn't matter to Jehovah. If thieves came to you, if robbers came by night, how ruined you would have been. Would they not have steal till they had enough? If grape gatherers have come to you, would they not leave gleanings? Just totally annihilated. You know, your own brother. This is, and that's what I tell everybody when I share, you know, sometimes my experience, and when they ask me about my ZC, and I'll go to Israel to tell them, I said, you know what that's people? That's brother against brothers out there, and cousins. That's family out there. That's against one another since the beginning of time. It says in verse 6, how Esau shall be searched out, his hidden treasures shall be sought out. All your allies shall send you forth to the border. Your friends shall deceive you and overpower you. They make your bread a snare under you without you discerning it. In that day, declares Jehovah, I shall destroy the wise men from Edom and discernment from the mountains of Esau. And your mighty men shall be discouraged, O Teman, so that everyone from the mountains of Esau is cut off by killing. And who's saying this? Jehovah, the master. Because why? He's going to tell us exactly right here in verse 10. Why he had to do it to Esau. Now, it's bad enough you disown your birthright. But when you became something that you were not, and we know from the story that, if any chance he got, he would have killed Yaakov. He says, because of your violence against your brother Yaakov, let shame cover you, and you shall be cut off forever. You see, Yosef, because of the love for his brother, despite of all what happened, them betraying him, tormented, the anguish and distress on his face, the approach that he could have took when he could have took revenge, with the love that Yehovah put in his heart, especially having his firstborn son, he said that Yah removed all that from him. And, you know, generational curse has been passed on to us for years. We got to remove that stuff. Something we got, you know what? We got to get past that. We're too far now. We're too deep in here. This road is straight. There's no backing up. Look, and when those that have left here and spoken about it, whatever the case may have been, you know, how do we treat our brother? Well, how does our mouth turn toward Jehovah to speak about our brother? Because look, all this is required from us. How we act, how we treat our fellow neighbor. All this, look, it's pressure. If the pressure's on, and the enemy is right there behind the pressure. He wants to rub that bomb in on you. Let me massage your shoulders. Think about that. You know what he did to you yesterday? The whole time he's massaging you. Oh, and you like that. Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I'm just saying. We have to be careful. Good luck. We're going to get to the master. But this here ministers so much because, look, having to go over this and trying to rehearse this, let me tell you, only he can put this together. He said, in that day, verse 11, that you stood on the other side, in the day that strangers took captive his wealth, when foreigners entered his gate and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. Oh, we're going to be like that to our brother? Ha-ha, I told y'all we was right. That should not be our attitude. I told you, y'all shouldn't leave. Y'all wasn't listening. That's not our attitude. Look, the other day, for the first time, I ran into my brother at Gilbo's. I hadn't seen him for a while. And let me tell you, I'm going to share this with everybody because, let me tell you, it brought joy to me. I was happy to see him. I went to him and I hugged him. I said, hey, my brother, I said, man, what you doing here? He said, I always stop here every morning. I said, well, I'm happy to see you. Call you. You need to call your brother. I guess I'm going to have to call him. I'm going to have to reach out and talk. But you know how happy I was to see him? Not hey, man, I can't. No, it was none of that. Because you know one time when I whispered to him right here, I said, you know, brother, I still follow you if you do the right thing. I'm still behind you. I got your back. But we got to do right. We're required. Your name is on the line. You signed up tonight. That's why you're here. In that day that you stood on the other side, in that day that strangers took captive his wealth, when foreigners entered the gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, you were like one of them. And you should have not looked on your brother's day in the day of his estrangement. So why? Because vengeance is mine, Jehovah, he says. He said, I'm going to repay. It's not up to us. It's up to him. We just have to be the brother and the sister to our family, regardless of what had happened. How we say that? We got to just bury the hatchet. And that's just what it is. And it's a hard pill to swallow because the whole time you're being massaged with that balm. You look, you get some of that salve on you, you know, maybe on your leg, or, you know. Yeah, it feels good for a moment. But the outcome. You should not have looked on your brother's day in the day of his estrangement, nor rejoiced over the children of Yehuda in the day of their destruction, nor made your mouth great in the day of distress. What? Is your mouth great? Having to do with our words and how we act. And not just only our brothers. Like I said, we have family. We have friends. When you're on the job, whatever your profession is, our mouth has to be toward him. We have to speak right about him. And look, regardless of how bad it hurts sometimes, we have to look, it nothing hurt. When you go through the story of Job, it was a hurtful time. But it said all this, he did not sin with his lips. Our mouth has to be toward him. Nor have entered the gate of my people in the day of their calamity, nor looked down on their evil in the day of their calamity, nor have seized their wealth in the day of their calamity. That was trouble for Israel back then because of their hard-headedness, from their stubbornness. That's why he said, Nebuchadnezzar, he works for me. Yahweh is the one that caused that, to cause Israel to go into exile. It's by his hand. But Esau tried to take advantage of his own brother. That's something we can't do. And we've never seen Yosef. We've never seen our model, Yosef, do that. Nor did we ever see Yeshua do that, try to take advantage of anyone. So I thought this was very fitting in this. Nor have stood at the parting of the way to cut off his fugitives, nor handed over his survivors in the day of destruction. This is what he did. This is what Esau did. The people that's trying to run back to Jerusalem for their lives, they were waiting for him. Killed him. Just go read the stories. Handing them over. Can you imagine the stress of people when you're in war, when you're in panic, and the enemy's there just trying to take you out, as you're trying to flee for your life, and your brother's against you. This is what was happening in the life right here. Verse 15. In that day of Jehovah is near upon all the nations. As you have done, it shall be done to you. Your reward shall come back on your own head. Remember what we measure out. For as you have drunk on my set apart mountain, so do all the nations drink continually, and they shall drink and shall swallow, and they shall be as though they had never been. But on Mount Zion there shall be an escape, and there shall be set up, and they shall be set apart. That's confident words right there. And the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Yosef a flame. And it so happens so that we're reading about these players. But the house of Esau a stubble. This is what happens, that when we're not careful, if we side, we get the wrong bomb rubbed off, or and our hand in the wrong glove, or somebody's hand in that glove that don't belong. He said, you'd be like Esau, the house for stubble. And they shall burn among them, and they shall consume them, so that no survivor is left of the house of Esau, for Jehovah has spoken. And they shall possess the south with the mountains of Esau, and low country with the Philistines. And they shall possess the fields of Ephraim, and the fields of Shemaron and Benjamin with Gilead. And the exiles of this host of the children of Israel possesses that of the Canaanites as far as Sephar. And the exiles of Jerusalem who are in Sepharad possesses the south, the cities of the south. And survivors shall come to Mount Zion to judge the mountain of Esau, and the rain shall belong to Jehovah. And just that little bit of reading, I thought it was so much in line with brothers. Would you see how Joseph acted toward his brothers? And you see how Esau, how he acted. And look, it wasn't good for Esau, the mouth of it. We know that because when we're going across the Jordan, who we got? They're going, Kelav, give me this mountain. He wants that mountain. So, and that was a short version. But let me give you all some more Hebrew words on anguish. Because anguish, you know, I just read that one, Sarah. How you know there's more? Because let me tell you, people go through stuff. We might not all share the same problem. The end result might come out to the same, because at the end, it's a loss. But how you know people go through some stuff? Now, anguish, H4689, Masok. There's also another H4691, Metsu'ah. H6695, Soak. And the one I just gave you, H6869, Sarah. H7115, Ketzer. And H7661, Shavat. These are all anguish words that you can go look in the Hebrew. They all got scriptures tied into them. I went and looked at every one. I didn't write them all down. I give them to you for you to do your own homework, because I couldn't do all these. Oh, yeah, that was right there. In the Greek, G2347, the word is thippis, thlipsis, thippis. Also, G4730, stenkuria. You got to go look it up. And G4928, sunake. These are all words that tie into anguish and distress that we're going to see our master here going to talk about in a minute. I gave you all that psalm, that proverb. The other night one was by Brother Chad. Let me give it to y'all, guys. Just see where I got it right here. In Proverbs 8, 21, when he was reading it, I was looking at, you know, just going through it, when he brought this verse of scripture out, he said, to bestow substance on those who love me and to fill their treasuries. That treasury is H214. When you go to that H214, the word is otsar. The otsar is treasures, storehouses. Amen? Because he said to the master, don't lay up treasure here on the earth where moth corrupt, where the enemy is at. Because when you go to the definition, it's press, enemy, and trouble. There's nothing more troubling when the enemy, when he's stealing all your stuff that you worked for hard all your life. And not just think about your stuff, think about our salvation walk. All these years, all this time put in, and the day you meet the master, I don't think he's going to say, hey, pastor, why are you wearing those tzitzis? Did I command that? I don't think you're going to hear those words. We want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. Why you wear a beard? You kind of look like me a little bit. You think he's going to throw that stuff? I think he's going to say, well done. You're kind of looking like me. My hair might be a little crooked. I'm working on that this weekend. But look, I want to be like him. I want to look like him. I want to be able to speak his word. But the enemy, the press, the enemy, he don't want that from you. He don't want you to have a covering. The ladies that are out here without your husband, he don't want you to have a covering. But the word says you have a covering. He said, I'm your covering. I'm your husband. You're not alone. You might maybe feel alone. That's that rubbing of the shoulder, that balm when the enemy massages you, trying to make you feel alone. But you're not alone. I mean, you know, the one that's got your hand in your glove, that's the one that Look, he's there for you and I. Amen. So that, this word, this little land, yap, this treasury, because that treasure, the enemy's out to steal your treasure. Where your heart is where your treasure is going to be. That's why the master says, don't lay it up here where the enemy can get to it, where the rust can corrupt it and thieves break in and steal. He said, but lay it up here. There won't be no thieves in the kingdom. Yeah, there might be a thief that one time, you know, when he said, remember me, you know, but he ain't going to be out there trying to pop open the streets of gold, if so the story goes, if we say something like that. I'm trying to wonder what the value of the streets of gold or the pearl that you read about it in Revelation. There ain't going to be none of that going on. Man, I tell you, this treasury, this pressing in the enemy, I'm going to tell you, even when you go to Shaul said, even after my departure, the savage wolves going to come. He said, they're not going to spare the flock. So, I mean, tonight, we're in safety because we got numbers. It's when you're out, when you're alone. That's when the pressing wants to come. Hey, are you going to stand for him when somebody asks you, hey, Cap, what's some things you're wearing? That's some kind of tribal things? Because I get asked that quite a few times. I got a choice right there to not say nothing, or I have a choice to turn my mouth toward him and tell him what it is. And be that light that he wants you to be. Let's see some more pressure and pressing what our master talked about, because there's stuff out there in the world it's just a little, I know our history, our background, but now when you start sitting down with the master and you read about what things that he said, his words are just unbelievable. In Luke 21, I know this is kind of like, almost like recap stuff. How you know, but it's we need this. We need this in time to come or in days to come, because the pressing is still out there. Look, heaven and earth hadn't passed away yet. So we're still going to go through stuff. There's still going to be seed time and harvest. We still got to work. In Luke 21, verse 1, and looking up, he saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw a certain poor widow putting in 2 mites. And he said, truly I say to you that this poor has put in more than all. For all these out of their excess have put into the offering for Elohim. But she out of her poverty has put in all that she had to live on. Look, when it's all you have and you give it to Yehovah, that seed is going into the ground. Let me tell you, get ready for the harvest. Yehovah knows. And you see a lot of people do that. They give out of their pockets because that's what they got. I'm going to tell you, but when you're giving all what you have and you have to trust in him, let me tell you, that's what faith is. Trusting in his word, trusting in what he says. That's what we have to lean upon. It says that some were speaking about the set apart place, that it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. He said, these that you see, the days are coming in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And that was true, because in 70 AD when the Romans, they destroyed Israel, the temple. And like I said, we had learned, and I had to go read. I went back and recapped that and read how they would scrape the gold, melt everything down, and scrape the gold off the stones. Oh, boy. See, that in verse 6, that these you see, the days are coming in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, teacher, but when shall this be, and what is the sign when this is about to take place? And he said, and this is what I like what he said, because that's what we say, what he says. See that you are not led astray, first of all, right off the bat. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am, and the time is near. Then do not go after them. But when you hear fightings and unrest, and do not be alarmed, for these have to take place first, for the end is not immediately. You notice unrest is anguish. And if we dig down far enough, we'll get to anguish and distress because you're unrest. Why? Because of things happening, especially around the world. Things are happening. That's nothing more unrest with anguish and distress. Anguish is like when you're in your boat in the Gulf somewhere or something, and you see a leak in your boat, and you're starting to get a little worried. That's what anguish is. Where's the water coming in the boat at? And when it's just you, and maybe the motor won't crank and water's coming in, anguish is building up on you. Then thing you know, you're getting into stress because you can't figure out that you done dropped 3 inches in the water and you can't figure out why the water's coming into the boat. It causes stress. Is our boat sinking? Sometimes we think what our master said, but he's in the boat, he's asleep. In one story with his disciples, he's sleeping in the boat. He ain't got no anguish or distress. But this is what anguish and distress will do to you. Now you get to the point to where you have to abandon ship. I've never been in that spot. In all my years, I had to abandon ship, call the Coast Guard. You know when you got to call the Coast Guard, you know what you're in? Distress. You call out the distress thing, Master, help me. Sometimes we need to cry out to him. Because look, you might not feel in distress now. It may come later. We should be prepared, because this is what he tells us in the story. Be alarmed. See to it that no one deceives us. He talked about don't deceive you, because there's going to be a lot of distress happening right here in verse 21. Let me finish read it. But when you hear fightings, we hear fightings every day, and unrest, do not be alarmed, for these have to take place first, but the end is not immediately. So in other words, you ain't going nowhere. It's like to me, you're going to go right through this tribulation of distress and anguish of this sarah that we just learned about in the Brit Hadashah. And he said to them, nations shall rise against nations. We see this happening. I know right here he's speaking to his disciples, but look who we are in the year 2025, and we're seeing this coming to pass. And rain against rain, and there shall be great earthquakes in various places. Over there in Thailand, I don't know what I forgot to just check how many. Last time, I know it was in the thousands that were lost already, buried under the rubble. And very earthquake in various places. And scarcity of food. Go figure. Just yesterday, I went up the road. The internet was out. You couldn't buy nothing unless you had cash. I'm like, oh boy, it's starting. So I left a bill by the Thompson Kitchen. Somebody go that way, I owe $14. I'm going to go pay it. But, hey, I mean, what you want me to do? It was scarcity of food time. I couldn't pay. Oh, man, let me keep going. And deadly diseases. Right now in the world, the measles outbreak going on. Really? It's telling us that right here. Our master is telling us, are we paying attention on what's happening around the time? But before all this, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you. Our poor disciples, they went through some stuff. They were sawed in half. They were fed to the lion. They were balled in oil and water and tar. They were tortured. For what? For us to be here today in nice air-conditioned, padded chairs on a Shabbat night. That's no place I would rather be than to be here. Because they gave their lives for us. Don't you think we owe something to our master? Because our master gave his life. Scarcity of food and deadly disease, and there shall be horrors and great signs from heaven. Horrors? You talk about going to be some distress in some people? What is going to be our posture? I told you so. I told you. No. Come here, brother. Let me tell you what the master says. This should be nothing new. This should not be alarming to us, to the believers tonight. They pay attention to the master, to his word. They shall persecute you, deliver you up to the congregation and prison, being brought before sovereigns and rulers for my name's sake. And it shall turn out to you for a witness. That's who we are. That's what I told these guys when I got these on. I said, they got to have the blue cord because it represents the word. I'm a witness to the word. Therefore, resolve it in your hearts. Settle with it. Tonight, settle with the word of the master, because the trouble's coming. Stress and anguish is coming. I know we've been saying it. Ugh. We're going to just prepare ourselves. It says, resolve in your heart not to premeditate on what to answer. Because a lot of times, look, I don't go to work and I say, okay, I'm going to think about this today. Somebody asked me? No, he don't say that. When you go there, don't worry about it. He tells you what to say. He said, I'll give you a mouth. To turn. You'll know what to speak. And wisdom, he'll give it to you. If you're looking for it, if you want it. Which all your adversaries shall not be able to refuse or resist. Now, the guy I was sharing with the other day when I went to work, I had no idea I was going to have this encounter with him like I had the other day. You know, and you know, to my understanding, he's not a Torah keeper. He doesn't follow the word. He's not an enemy. But I had to just share with him the goodness of Yehovah and share our ministry with him and invite him into the family. Let me tell you, and he's the one that was asking the questions. I just did my best to try to answer it for him. And you shall be betrayed by parents. This is tough. And brothers, and relatives, and friends. I think he's covering them all. And some of you shall be put to death, by the way. And you shall be hated by all because of my name. We have an option. After that, you just be hated by all and let them live with it, or you side with them. I can tell you, when you side, you're not on that straight and narrow path. When you side with him, there's only one way. And it's his way. I told them God the other day, we say this real fast. We say history. But we learned a while back, you say it real slow, it's his story. You got to tell his story. And that's what I aim to do. But not a hair of your head shall be lost at all. Possess your lives by your endurance. I mean, we have to endure. It's going to be tough. But this is what we come here for. We come here to learn what our master tells us, what it's prepared for. Because, he was the model. When Yosef was our model and the master came, that's it. We're here to learn from our master. What a great model for us today. He says, when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its lying waste is near. Then let those in Yehuda flee to the mountains. And let those who are in the midst of her go out. And let not those who are in the fields enter her, because these are the days of vengeance to fill all that have been written. Where has that been written? Back where we come from at the beginning. This is why I went and read Obadiah. I got it down pat. I got it here. Oh, man. Obadiah or Obadiahu. I got it here in my notes. H5662. Friend of Yah. I think it's a friend of Yah, if I am mistaken. He said, because of those days, vengeance to all, to fill all that have been written. And those who are pregnant, and woe to those who are pregnant, and those who are nursing children in those days, for there shall be great distress. See, our master talks about it. In the earth, and wrath upon this people. Whose people? On what people? Because I remember, even though Moshe was going through it with the people, but in Goshen, that was light. They had to make sure the blood was applied. They had to do all these things because Moshe was talking about the words of Yah. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword and be led away captive into all nations. I wonder where he just gets his information from. Maybe he read in some of this stuff. And Jerusalem shall be trampled underfoot by nation until the times of the nations are filled. And there shall be signs in the sun and moon and stars and on the earth. Anxiety of nations. I mean, you know what anxiety, what that leads you to? Anguish, distress. The same thing that they saw on Yosef's face, but they disregarded it. Look, it'll show on you. Anguish and distress will show on you. You'll be in fear of panic and just everything that comes with all the symptoms. That's why you got so many stuff on TV. It's anxiety and stuff. Take all these things. It says men fainting from fear and the expectation of what is coming on the earth. Well, I'm telling you tonight what's coming on the earth. Jehovah is coming. Yeshua is coming. Coming to clean up. For the believer, that's no fear. That's exciting times. I wish I had the bag because I was thinking to throw the bag over my shoulder. He took the bag. Oh, but look, people's heart going to be, people are going to be in anguish. Help me. They're going to be in distress. What to do? That's going to be the time to say, look, let me explain something to you. Not, aha, I told you so. We're not going to be like Esau and try to take advantage and gloat over our brothers and just because they are in stress and anguish. Let me tell you, because some of these very families are going to be your children, going to be my children, going to be our brother, your sister, your cousin. It's going to be family. And the hardest one to deal with is families. But that's who we are here. We're all family. Once you become into the fold, you sheep just like the rest of us. And we like the rest of them. Men's fainting from fear and the expectation of what is coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Adam coming in a cloud with power and much esteem. And when these matters begin to take place, look up and lift up your head because your redemption draws nigh. The whole time we've been waiting. All this time, it could be tomorrow. I don't know. It could be at any time. I'm sorry. Not going to be any time. It's going to be an appointed time. But as up to us, we have to endure and be ready for when that day comes because he's going to tell us about it. Lift up our head, for our redemption draws nigh. And he spoke a parable to them. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they have already budded, observing it, you shall know for yourself that the summer is now near. I was just a little while, I was looking at my fig tree when I walked into the truck, and just something caught my attention. I told my wife, I said, I got a little brown spot on my fig tree. All nice and green, and some of it looked like a little rust on it. So I got to go and do some investigation on that. But summer is near. He said, look at the trees. So you also, when you see these matters take place, know that the reign of Elohim is near. Boy, are y'all getting this? Truly, I say to you, this generation shall by no means pass away till all shall have taken place. He said, the heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall by no means pass away. In verse 23, that distress is G318. It's the word anuke. It's also it's the word that it says it needs be. When you look it up in Matthew, it's only mentioned three times. In Matthew 18:7, Luke 14:18, and Luke 23:17. It's the word necessity or needs be that leads you to this anxiety or distress. It says in verse 34, and take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down by gluttony and drunkenness and worries of this life, and that day come on you suddenly. You know what? Because there's going to be a lot of people having fun. That's what they call it. I know because I did it. I called it fun. You don't think I was going to be here on a Friday night. Ain't no way. Now that you know, that's no place I'd rather be. But that's what they're going to be calling. They're going to be doing these things when he comes. And it shall come on as a snare on those dwelling on the face of the earth. That means we're going to see it. We're alive and remain, and we're still living above ground. We're going to see these days, this time come. It says, watch then at all times and pray that you be counted worthy to escape. And we need to be counted worthy because, look, we live amongst them. We live amongst The wheat and the tares, remember, we're growing together. We should look different. We should act different. Speak different. Our mouth. We should walk different. Definitely our mouth. Because our mouth can get us in a lot of trouble. We should even smell different. Watch it in at all times. And pray that you be counted worthy to escape all this about to take place and stand before the Son of Adam. The one we've been waiting for, finally. What is our posture going to look like toward him? And he was teaching in the set-apart place by day, but at night he went out and stayed on the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the set-apart place to hear him. Oh, boy. Let's look in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, because Matthew, Mark, and Luke, yeah, all these guys, but some of them just kind of worded different. He says, then going out, in verse 1, Yeshua went out from the set-apart place, and his taught ones came near to point out to him the building of the set-apart place. And Yeshua said to them, do you not see all these? Truly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another at all, which shall not be thrown down. And was he right? And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, his taught ones came to him separately, saying, Say to us, when shall this be? Because people want to know. People really, but the problem, they don't want to know the truth. They want to know. They just don't want to hear from you. And when shall this be? And what is the sign of your coming at the end of the age? And Yeshua answered and said to them, take heed that no one leads you astray. He says this all three times. I wonder why. Because there's going to be a lot of misleading, a lot of misstraying going on. Especially in the church world. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and it shall lead many astray. I'm so glad we read about what Moshe wrote, because our master said, if you believe what Moshe wrote, you're going to believe me, for he wrote about me. That's how I know we're talking about the right Messiah. Because if you're out here and you ain't preaching Messiah on Shabbat or Sunday, whatever day you decide to go to church, it should be the Sabbath day, because he tells us here in a little bit. I want to be reading what Moshe wrote, because that's what he said. Many are going to be led astray, and you shall begin to hear fightings and reports of fighting. See that you are not troubled. For the believer, don't be troubled about this. These things got to happen. For these have to take place, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and reign against reign. And there shall be scarcity of food and deadly diseases and earthquaking places. These disciples, they knew what to write. They knew. And all these are the beginning of birth pains. Sometimes when we see stuff on the news, oh man, I never heard that before. It's always been in here. Always you got to take the time to go read it. And they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. This is what happened when you follow the master. You're not going to be the most popular guy. I'm not the most popular guy in my neighborhood. I can tell you that. And then many shall stumble, and they shall deliver you up one another and shall hate one another. But that's bad if you stumble. We're in this too much to stumble. We're in too deep. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray. Wow. And because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. This is why we read his word. This is why we scrutinize his word. This is why any chance we get, we want to sit down in his word. Because right here, because when lawlessness is going to increase, when you start forgetting about his laws, guess who's there massaging you? Yeah, you don't need to be there tonight. You know what I told my wife before? I said, babe, I just want to put my pajamas on tonight and just lay on the couch. Because really, I'm tired. After that lick last night and that get up early this morning, flesh, I was being massaged. I'm not going to lie to you. That's what flesh wants to do. Come in and let me massage you, son. pass it on to Brother Chad or Brother Rob. But they say, hey, brother, we're running late. So I was on the hook. I did say I could pass it on to Pastor, though. But that's what happened. That flesh get massaged. You really want to drive down from way up the road to come down here to come to church tonight? Or you know how much stuff you got to do over here? That's that massaging going on. And many false prophets shall rise up and lead many astray, and because of the increase in lawlessness, the love of many shall become cold. I don't want my love for him to become cold. When you become cold, I mean, you can't get warm. You don't let it become cold. But he shall have endured to the end. Shelby said, we have to endure to the end, no matter how tough the road gets, how narrow, how tight it's going to be. Because it's going to get tight. And you know what starts to get tight? You know when you start to get in your throat? Your throat gets dry. And it's hard to swallow because it's tight. The pressure is on. But look at verse 14. And this good news of the reign shall be proclaimed to all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end shall come. And when you see the abomination that lays waste, that's what we just read about in Luke, spoken of Daniel the prophet, set up in the set apart place. He who reads, let him understand. Every now and then we got to go visit these stories, what our master tells us. And those who are in Yehuda, flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take whatever is out of the house. And let him who is in the field not turn back to get his garment. There won't be no time. And woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing children in those days. And pray that your fight does not take place in the winter or on the Sabbath. And I want to be here in his set apart place. I want him to find me doing his work, you know, what he likes me to do. If that's proper, he likes me to do. And there shall be great distress. Huh? What have we started with? Distress and anguish. This is what he's telling you. You're going to see this on people's faces. You're going to see it on the face of our children and our loved ones. We're going to see it. And even strangers, they're going to want to know what's going on. It's going to be for a witness. Such as, then there shall be great distress, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time. It's going to be bad. Nor ever shall be. So during this time that our master's talking about, I don't know when it's coming, but I know I want my heart postured right toward him. And what's a good way? Passover's coming on. It's right there. We should have been preparing all week for what's to come. Because why? He went through anguish and distress. He was not treated right. So I don't know who are we to think that we're just going to vanish out of here. And if those days were not shortened, no flesh would be saved. Nobody would be saved. That's why I said a little while ago. Look like time had sped up a little bit. Man, it's just, an hour don't even take an hour no more. I don't know, to me, it looks like an hour of them. I don't know, for some reason. Those days were not shortened. No flesh would be saved, but for the sake of the chosen one. This is why you're here tonight. You're the chosen ones. Those days shall be shortened. And if anyone then says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there, do not believe, for false messiahs and false prophets shall rise, and they shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen one. That's why we come here to read and learn about him, because we don't want to be deceived. Remember, you can be. If you got, we do, the name that tune, why you Messiah, you hit you that little lullaby, you'd be singing another tune. Before you know it. See, I have forewarned you. He's telling us. So if they say to you, look, here he is in the desert, do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner room, do not believe. For as lightning comes from the east and shines to the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wherever the dead body is, there the vultures shall be gathered. And immediately after the distress of those days, are your Bible saying the same thing? Because mine's saying, that's what mine's saying. The distress of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give its light, and the stars fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Adam shall appear in the heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth shall mourn. Who are we talking about? The tribes of the earth, the tribes from the beginning to where they at now. We're part of those tribes. At least that's what they tell me. Coming in the cloud, the Son of Adam, coming in the cloud of the heaven with power and much esteem. He shall send his messengers with a great shout of a trumpet, and they shall be gathered together, his chosen one, from the four winds, from the one end of the heavens to the other. And learn this parable from the fig tree. When the branch has already become tender and put forth its leaves, you know that the summer is near. And I know we got a couple guys in here. They tree specialists. They're always observing them trees. They look, and you know what? I do the same thing now. I go look at the banana tree. I look at the cherry tree. Today I just went by my olive trees. And for y'all, I want to apologize. I thought I had olives. All I had was flowers. But they were so small, they looked like olives. But I was expecting. Yeah, look, that was my hope. But I went there today, and I'm looking at them. Look like y'all got a little taller. I'm looking at y'all now. Before I was looking down. Now it's like I'm starting to look up at them. Then I went by my little cherry tree, and I see some new little shoots getting longer. I said, oh, great, we growing here. So we got to pay attention to what's happening to trees. You know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these, know that he is near at the door. He's right there. So look, we're going to go through some stuff. It's going to get tight, but he's right there at the door. Just hanging there just a little bit longer. Truly I say to you, this generation shall by no means pass away until all this takes place. I know somebody, look, I love one, we lose loved ones, we lose people, but I'm going to tell you, you're going to go down, you go down swinging. You go down fighting. You go down holding the line. Remember, hold the line. Truly I say to you, this generation shall by no means pass away until all this takes place. The heaven and the earth shall pass away, but my words shall by no means pass away. We have to pay attention to his words. This is what he said. But concerning that day and the hour, no one knows, not even the messengers of the heaven, but my Father only. I was sharing this with a guy the other day. People trying to make Yeshua a God. If he was, he would notice what day it was. But he said, my Father only. And as the days of Noah, so also shall the coming of the Son of Adam be. For they were in the days before the flood, eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And, oh boy, how are we looking, brother?
17.
Oh, I can finish this. And two shall be in the field. One is taken and the other is left behind. We learned a little something last week about that. The righteous is going to inherit the earth. All the other stuff is going to be taken out. You're going to be here on the earth. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One is taken, the other is left. Watch, therefore, watch. For you do not know what hour your master is coming. And know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come. You remember the enemy? He's there. If we knew when he would come, we would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Because that's what the enemy does. He wants to come. There's nothing better than come in and to destroy your household. And who he starts with? Of course he's going to start with the head. Because we should have been, as protector of our wives and our family, we should have been doing our duties. But we was too busy sitting in the chair with our feet propped up getting massaged. And I like a good massage too. I might have to go get that. Because of this, be ready too, for the Son of Adam is coming in an hour when you do not expect him. When the last thing's on your mind, when you had Hobby Lobby and all them flowers looking good for Passover next year. I don't think he's coming this year, but I'm gonna say maybe next year. When you poop, ba ba, that could happen. Why are you in Hobby Lobby or at Michael's? You know, I'm going back to the lady because that's Sarah. You know, I'm going back to that word, but I'm not. Don't be anguished or distressed about all that. That's happy time. When you hear that, be ready too. For the Son of Adam is coming out when you do not expect him. Who then is a trustworthy? Remember, we are trustworthy. brothers. Huh? And wise servants, whom his master set over his household to give them food in the season. Because that's who we should, that should got to be our posture. We should be trustworthy and wise to give the servants that's coming food, because they're going to need it. They're going to need, that's what the overspill is for. Our cup running over. It's not just for you to sob it back up. It's to help others. Say, blessed is that servant whom his master, having come, shall find doing. We have work to do. Truly I say to you that he shall set him over all his possessions. Wow. Talking about a spot to be in, you know, ahead of Yeshua's stuff. Ain't that amazing? But if that servant, that evil servant, says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and begins to beat his fellow servant and to eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that servant shall come on a day when he does not expect it, and an hour he does not know, and shall cut him in two and appoint his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth as consequences for whether you want to be massaged by the enemy or by our master. How we treat our fellow man, our fellow brother and sister, our family, it matters. Despite of what happened in past time, our mouth has to be toward him at all times. Because that's who we saying we are. That's what we're proclaiming. And of course, you can go read the one in Mark and Tribulation. And also in 2 Kings 8:16 and in 2 Chronicles 21:8, you'll find the stories how they revolted against Yehuda that went along with the story of Obadiah. You see how they revolted against their brother. It's in there. I just didn't go to it, but it's in there. There's something else. Man, I tell you, this is... Let me see if I can get my YouTube. First I got to go. Let me lock it on over there. See if I can get some service with you, brother. There's something I want to share with y'all tonight also. The Wi-Fi. Oh, it had to be on? Oh, my bad. Oh, you setting it up? Okay. There's a video I want to play for y'all tonight before we left from here. Is it going to come on the screen, brother? Okay. My bad. This is something that's been weighing on me all week. As a matter of fact, I'm going to share it with y'all here in just a minute. Why they working on that? There's a song that came on, of course, all my Hebrew songs and music that I like to listen to. It says, to him who purified us from our transgressions, we sing a song of love. He repaired our ways, healed our souls, reveal to us the face of the Father, and now come to him, lifting our voices. Let us worship the Lord, eternal King. He is our Redeemer. He came down to us from on high, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. Yeshua is the spotless Lamb, the Aleph and Tav. To him who emptied himself of glory, we sing a song of love. He went to the cross for the joy of doing the will of the Father, And now come to him, lifting our voices. Let us worship the Lord, eternal King. He is our Redeemer. He came down to us from on high, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. Yeshua is the spotless Lamb, the Aleph and Tav. To the glory of the Lord, we live our lives daily like a love song. We will die to ourselves, for in Messiah we have been resurrected with him. And now come to him, lifting our voices, let us worship the Lord, eternal King. He is our Redeemer. He came down to us from on high, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. Yeshua is the spotless Lamb, the Aleph and Tav. Let us sing forever, forever, and now come to him, lifting our voices. Let us worship the Lord, eternal King. He is our Redeemer. He came down to us from on high, and he is now at the right hand of the Father. Yeshua is the spotless Lamb, the Aleph and Tav. Yeshua is the spotless Lamb, the Aleph and Tav. Oh, it's on? I'm trying to see if I can get the video up. Oh, you got it on? Oh, yeah. So before we end, let's sing tonight. I think it's going to do us good to go on into Passover and to give thanks to him for what he has done. Because this is why we're here tonight. There's no other reason why. So this song has really been on my heart all week. So it's going to be a challenge because I had to write it all down on paper.
תרגישו חופשיים לעמוד איתנו ושירו איתנו.
לא שאותנו תיאר מבשלנו, שרים אנו שיר אהבה. תיקן את דרכנו, נמא את נפשנו, נמא לנו את בני
שרוקן את עצמו,
לא שרוקן את עצמו מכבוד, שרים אנו שיר אהבה. הלך אל הצלב ועד השמחה לעשות את זונו של ישוע זה התמיד עליך אתה שומעים לו שיר אהבה נשיר לו לעד לעד ואתה בואו אליו נישא את קולנו נשכח בין האדון מלך עולם ותוא עלינו לנו יחד ממעון
My wife busted me and said, you singing to the dog? I said, yep. So, let me tell you, it's a challenge to try to learn the Hebrew, but it's so beautiful because he is the Aleph and the Tav, the spotless lamb. Hallelujah. Shabbat Shalom.